this one that brings back such fond memories, but yet it's an opportunity for the good news to be communicated. And so we pray that you'd be with each of our missionaries as they're in different corners of the world, that, Father, they would sense the presence, your presence with them, and that, Father, they would proclaim boldly, courageously, the good news of Jesus Christ. The Prince of Peace has come. And, Father, we celebrate that together this morning. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, ironically, in a week, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be on my way back to Haiti for 2 weeks. Brad, I appreciate you coming up because I do need you up here also. But we also need four other gentlemen are going to be leaving to go with us. They're going to be leaving on the 4th of January. But Nick Allen, he's not able to be with us today. But we do have Charles. Why don't you come on up here? And we also have Josh Piazza and Phil Sherwell. Why don't you come up here? Because this is the group that's going to be going out. We're going to be building. Yeah, you can stand right here. This is good. And so we are excited. I'll be leaving next Sunday, and I'll be doing two pastors' conferences, one each week. And then in between the two, then I'll be helping these gentlemen build a commercial swing set that we'll be putting up. And so we do appreciate your prayers, lots of opportunities for us to share the love of Christ with those around us. And so we've asked Pastor Brad if he would pray for us as we undergo our adventure.
Let's pray for this team, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these men, and we thank you for their willingness to go to Haiti to love people who are in desperate need of the love of Christ. Lord, I ask that you'd use them in a mighty way, that you keep them safe in their travels, and that they be successful. And Lord, especially with the playground they're installing for those children, I just pray they have opportunity to share the gospel and the love of Christ as they interact with people that they are with in Haiti. So Lord, thank you. Bless them, we ask. In your son's wonderful and awesome name, and all God's people said, amen.
We do appreciate your prayers and also financial support of the missions committee, and so we do thank you very much, and we'll be back in a couple weeks.
Well, good morning. Well, thank you for that fine greeting. Well, Merry Christmas to you all, and we're excited to be here today on this snowy day. For those of you who've been dreaming for a white Christmas, your dreams have now come true. Congratulations. Of course, for us, we travel from Wooddale here, and I had to stop at O'Hare and have my Oldsmobile de-iced to get here, but we made it. But take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 today. We'll look at two passages in Luke, but first of all, we'll look at this first passage in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, where we hear the birth of Christ foretold. So let's take a look at this passage today. Luke 1, verse 26. The words will be up on the screen as well. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "Well, how will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. May the Lord add his blessing at the hearing and the reading of his word this morning. Well, if you're like the Belcher household, you know, all those TV movies, Christmas movies and programs are on these days. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but the Charles Schulz television Christmas special, A Charlie Brown Christmas, is the longest running cartoon special in history since 1965. It was first aired on CBS and produced by Lee Mendelson and animated by Bill Melendez. Mendelson, the producer, and Charles Schulz were asked to produce the special on short notice with Coca-Cola as the main sponsor. Coke approached Mendelson about creating the special the following day, and he and Schulz came up with the story for the program. The program was put together in less than 6 weeks. Schulz insisted that child actors were used for the voices of the characters and that contemporary jazz music be used for the background track and that Luke's gospel be used for the Christmas pageant scene to point out what Christmas is really all about. So the show's sponsors were not too pleased with the special. They believed that it was too contemporary and highbrow with the jazz track from Vince Guaraldi's jazz trio. Too unprofessional with the child actors, but more than anything, they thought the program was way too religious with the blatant use of Luke chapter 2, 8 through 14. But Charles Schulz would not budge on his creation and insisted that the Bible reading be kept in the program. He basically said, take it or leave it. Coke gave in, and the program became a huge success, and we're still watching it 50 years later. That's remarkable. So why is this so important? Because Charles Schulz knew that Jesus is what Christmas is all about. And he was determined to make sure Jesus didn't get lost in Christmas. Why? Because Charles Schulz was a Christ follower. He knew who Jesus was personally and was determined to communicate the truth about Jesus. So we ask, well, who is this Jesus? Who comes to us as a child, who lived a perfect life, who died in our place once and for all in full payment for all of our sin and rebellion, who rose from the grave conquering death and the evil one for all time. As we'll see in this passage, he is our Savior. He is the one who delivers us from evil and redeems us from our sin. He is our Lord and Master, our mighty God and our King of Kings. He is our comfort, our wonderful counselor, our Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Throughout our Christmas series, we've been exploring how Jesus fulfills all the Christmas Old Testament prophecies about the coming of our Messiah, our Savior, and how the New Testament demonstrates the fulfillment of these Old Testament prophecies. And as we study this morning, we'll be looking at passages from the New Testament and the Old Testament. So let's dig into Luke's gospel a little more, where we can clearly see these truths that Charles Schulz was holding on to. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this incredible opportunity we have for just a few minutes to spend time in your word. Lord, I ask that you would help us not to miss anything that you would have for us this morning, knowing that each one has been drawn here by your divine hand for your divine purposes. Oh God, have your way in our hearts. Move in our midst by the power of your Spirit through the hearing of your word. We pray all of this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name this morning. Amen. You can look in your program and find the sermon notes outline to follow along. We hope you can fill in the blanks as we go here. The first truth from our text is simply this: Jesus is our Savior. In verse 26, it said, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We've heard this so many times. And he came to her, this angel, and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying. You can imagine how troubled she would have been that there's an angel talking to me. And she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Jesus, that's the name. Yeshua. Joshua. Which literally means Savior. He saves. He really is the first superhero. But he goes way beyond Superman or Batman or Spider-Man or Captain America or, dare I say, Luke Skywalker. So how is Jesus our Savior? He saves us by delivering us and redeeming us. Throughout the scriptures, we are told that our God delivers and he redeems. Exodus 6:6, for example. "So say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment." He saves by delivering and redeeming. Jesus is our Savior. First of all, he is our deliverer. In the Hebrew, natsal. He is our deliverer. Literally, natsal in Hebrew means to be snatched away. He removes us from the calamity. He delivers us from the evil in the nick of time. Psalm 109:21 says, "But you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good. Deliver me," the psalmist cries out. Oh, deliver me. Have you ever felt like that? Things aren't going very well. Oh, God, deliver me. Come in the nick of time and get me out of this mess that I found myself in. Maybe even right now, you're in the midst of a calamity. A sovereign difficulty that God has allowed into your world for his purposes. And you need Jesus to deliver you. But not only is he the deliverer, he is our redeemer. In Hebrew, the word is ga'al, redeemer, the one who rescues. He rescues us by way of redemption. So what is this idea of redemption in Scripture? Well, this is the rescue of an individual from a difficult obligation by means of a monetary payment. That's what it means to be redeemed. Jesus is the ultimate full payment for our debt of death because of our sin, because of our rebellion against a holy and righteous God. The wages of sin is death. And now Jesus comes and pays that price and redeems us. Isaiah 59:20 prophesies this, "And a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord." And it's fulfilled with Zechariah's prophecy in Luke 1:68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." This Jesus, Yeshua, this Savior, he delivers, he redeems. Secondly this morning, not only is he the Savior, Jesus is our Lord. As our text goes on, we see, first of all, that he is our master. Notice what the angel says to Mary in verse 32. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." The Most High. The Lord. The Master. The Sovereign One. The Most High. What can be higher than the Most High? Nothing. In Psalm 110, verses 1 and 2, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies." He rules. He's the master. He's the boss. Who's the boss of your life right now? A lot of times we like to call the shots, don't we? I don't want anybody else calling the shots for me. I want to make my own decisions. I want to be my own person, my own man. And here's the Savior, the Messiah, who turns out to be Lord. And to be Lord means literally to be the master. He is the boss. He is the Most High. He has a scepter. He rules. Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Christ the master, the one who reigns, the one who rules. Romans 11:36, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." It's all about him. It's all about the Lord. It's all about our master. Who is your master this morning? And not only is he our master, he is our king. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God, the angel says to Mary, will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. See these kingly roles and titles. He sits on the throne. That's what kings do. He will reign. That's what kings do. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Kings have kingdoms, don't they? He is our king. I ask you, is he your king? Jeremiah 23:5, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king." You see, the coming Messiah would be the king. This child born in a manger will reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. This is fulfilled with Jesus' coming. As Paul reflects in his letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things." Flee these things, these evil things he's referring to. "But pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Several years ago, just 2 years ago, mind you, Kathy and I went to a wonderful program down in Fort Wayne, a Christmas program at the Embassy Theater. And while we were there, they sung Handel's Messiah. And I grew up that when you hear the Handel's Messiah, man, you stand up for that. Why? Because it's about the King of kings. And so Kathy and I and the friend that was with us, we stood up, and for a moment, nobody else stood up. But slowly, as the choir entered in, started singing hallelujah, people started standing around us, and by the end of the song, about 2,500 people stood up. It was awesome. Just last week, we were at the Christmas program for my daughter out in Fenton, and we're sitting there, and sure enough, in the program is the hallelujah chorus. It sings about, "He will reign forever and ever. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords." And when I heard the bump, 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 man, you stand up. Here it comes. And we stood the whole time all by ourselves. Nobody else stood up. We were all alone in a room of about 700 people. You know, at first I'm like, well, I think people might notice we're standing. And then I felt bad for my daughter, who's like, "I gotta explain, was that your parents standing up out there?" But you know what? After a couple minutes of feeling a little awkward, I was like, you know, I don't care. I'm gonna stand up for my king, because he is the king. And if I need to kneel before him, then I'll kneel. If I need to go to Budapest, Hungary, I'm going to go there. If I need to come to Chicago, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do whatever the king says. He's the king. He's my king. Is he your king this morning? He's the master. He is our king. Thirdly, he is our mighty God. Listen to what it says in verse 34. Mary says to the angel, how will this be? I love that line. I mean, it's so real. What do you mean I'm going to have a kid? What are you, crazy? I'm a virgin. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. He's holy. And what do we know about our God? He's not just holy. He's holy, 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 the Son of God. Jesus is endowed with all the attributes of the Father. Isaiah 9:6, that famous passage that we see on all the Christmas cards, as Pastor Paul read earlier, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now, listen to this. Are you hearing the passage written 700 years before Jesus shows up? A child is born, and to us a son is given. Listen, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Have you ever thought about that? It says a child is given, a son, and the name of the son is Mighty God. The name of the son is Everlasting Father. What are we saying about this kid, about this child, about this babe born in the manger? He's Mighty God. He is our Mighty God. Colossians 1:19 says, Paul writes, for in him, that is in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In Hebrews 1, the very beginning, verse 1 through 3, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So he's also the creator. Yeah, he's Mighty God. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And I ask you, how close is exact? And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is our Mighty God. He is our King. He is our Master, this Jesus, this babe in the manger. Lastly, don't miss this. Jesus is our Comforter. Jesus is our Comforter. Not only is he the Savior, not only is he our Lord, he is our Comforter. First of all here, how does he comfort us? Oh, he comforts us in that he is our Wonderful Counselor. And now we move to chapter 2, verse 8, as we experience the shepherds hearing the news that Jesus is born. In chapter 2, verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, what? Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Isn't that comforting when someone says, you don't have to be afraid? Same thing with Mary, right? It said that Mary was afraid, and the angel calms her down. And here again, the angels are calming these shepherds down. Fear not. Comfort now comes. He is our ultimate Comforter. He is our Wonderful Counselor. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor. Luke 4:22, and all spoke well of him, this Jesus, and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. Jesus is the most incredible counselor, the wonderful comforter. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know if you're hurting. I don't know what you're going through, but turn to his words of comfort. All throughout the Bible, wonderful words of comfort. I'll always be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You're the apple of my eye. I've loved you with an everlasting love. These are incredible words of comfort for all of us that we all need desperately. Not only is he our wonderful counselor, the one we should listen to, the one who should guide us the most, he is our Prince of Peace. In verse 11 of Luke 2, the angels continue with the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We've already talked about Yeshua, Christos, the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Lord, the Master. All these titles come up to mind now. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Ready? And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Finally, peace. Oh, peace. I don't know about you, but I'm longing for peace. Yesterday, we were out and about just like all of you shopping. Weren't you out there with me shopping yesterday, all of you? It seemed like you were all there. And, you know, a lot goes through your mind as you're driving around trying to shop. And I came to a stop sign. And, you know, I've gotten used to these, you know, having moved to Chicago this last year, I'm getting used to these signal lights. They go like an extra minute and a half here. Can we talk to the policeman about what's the deal with the extra long signals here? Everywhere else on the planet, they're shorter. But here, they're just a little bit longer. And so I'm used to pulling up and just sitting. So I came to a stop sign, and I just sat there. Because I thought, you know, that's what you do. Because I've got this habit now of just waiting. But it's a stop sign. When it's clear, you're supposed to go. Well, lovingly, the man behind me wasn't happy with my just sitting there. And so, you know, he honked his horn. And it wasn't like a honk. You know, honk. It wasn't like a beep beep. It was a I mean, he just blasted me. I'm like, oh, I guess I can go. And then I looked, and now there's traffic. Oh, I can't go. And so you just imagine this guy in the back. And he's obviously frustrated. And so finally I can go. And, you know, he then veers out and passes me. And, as he's passing me, he rolls down his window. And here's my lovely wife right here. And he's yelling now at my wife because I'm on the other side of the car. And he's... You've heard that perhaps, maybe. Maybe you've said that. I don't know. I hope not you. But there was no peace there for a moment. And you know what? In that man's heart, in that man's life, I feel sorry for him. That a guy who stayed a little too long at a stop sign can bring that much chaos, anger, and rage. No peace. I don't know about you, but I'm longing for a world full of peace, where people really love each other and care for each other. He's the Prince of Peace. He brings peace between us and God as we put our faith and trust in him. We're no longer in conflict with God anymore because Jesus has paid us all. We've been credited with his righteousness. We've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and we are no longer at odds. We're no longer in conflict with God because as he looks at us, he sees through Christ, through the lens of Christ. How beautiful that is. And plus, we can be at peace with each other now, can't we? Maybe I don't have to honk my horn at people. Maybe we could be gracious and kind and patient. Maybe we could be at peace. Is that possible? He is the peace. He is the Prince of Peace. John 16:33. Jesus says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, right? I had some tribulation yesterday with that guy behind me. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Praise God for that. Lastly, this morning, don't miss this. He is Emmanuel. Not only is he the Prince of Peace, our wonderful counselor, our great comforter, he is Emmanuel, literally God with us. In Luke 1, 28 and 30, the angel says to Mary, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. There's this idea of his being with us. Do not be afraid. There's that comforting idea that comes by the reality that now through faith he can be with us. In Isaiah 7:14, by way of the prophecy, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. And that's fulfilled in Matthew 1:22. By way of the words, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. We're going to explore that theme tonight at 11 p.m. I hope you can come tonight. Snow's supposed to stop somewhere around 4, but man, I hope you can come. We're going to explore the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us, and what that might mean. You know, if you're familiar with the Peanuts comics, you know one of the major themes concerning Linus was that the one thing you could never take away from Linus is what? His blanket, right? You got a picture of that? Yeah. Right? But I don't know if you noticed how brilliant Charles Schulz was with what he was conveying as Linus shared Luke's gospel. There's only one time that Linus has ever separated from his blanket, and that was as he was reading Luke's gospel. Notice how he starts it, he's holding the blanket. But right as he gets to the point where he says this line, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The next slide. Fear not. You mean for a moment, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to have my security blanket. I can be at peace with my wonderful counselor, my king, my master, my Lord. This one time, Linus doesn't need his security blanket as he understands the security he has in the Lord. Fear not. He does part with his blanket one last time as he uses it to prop up the tree. The next slide. There it is again. See it? And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." That's for everyone in this room. "For unto you, unto each one of you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He is the Savior. He is the Master. He is our great Comforter. So who is this Jesus? Who comes to us as a child, who lived a perfect life, who died in our place once and for all in full payment for all of our sin and rebellion, who rose from the grave, conquering death and the evil one for all time. He is our Savior. He is the one who delivers us from evil and redeems us from our sin. He is our Lord and Master, our mighty God, our King of Kings. He is our Comfort, our wonderful Counselor, our Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel, God with us. As Paul said, if God is with us, and God is for us, who could be against us? And I ask you, is Jesus your Savior this morning? Is he your Lord? Is he your Comfort? I encourage you that if he is not, that in this moment, at this time, turn to him. Turn to him right now and receive him by faith so that you can know with certainty that God is with you through faith in Christ, who has saved you from all your sin. He has delivered you and redeemed you by his grace. He alone is the perfect sacrifice for you, in complete payment for all of our sins before a holy and righteous God. Would you please stand with me as we close our service? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you are to us. Lord, we praise you this Christmas Eve for the incredible gift of your Son that you sent to us over 2,000 years ago into this world that he might be our Master, our Savior, our Comforter. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to be alone. You're always with us, no matter what. Lord, we thank you that we can depend on you and be led and guided by you and you alone as we seek your face, as we seek your word of truth. Lord, we thank you that in the nick of time you come to save us, to not leave us in our distress. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who needs you desperately, who needs a Savior, a mighty God to intervene, a counselor, a comforter, Lord, it's my prayer that they would turn to you just now and say, yes, I need you. I invite you into my heart and my life to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for the direction I've been going. Cleanse me from my rebellion and my sin. And help me to live for you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for dying for me. Lord, we thank you for this Christmas season, this Christmas time, where we give back to each other. We show love and grace and care, the kind of love and grace and care that we've been shown from you, the kind of love and grace and care that we should be showing everyone all the time. Oh, God, help us. Help us as we love people. Help us to shine the light of Christ, especially in the next day, in the next few days, as we encounter friends and family members who perhaps don't even know you, that we might be used by you to be the light of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you are to us, our Savior, our Master, our Comforter, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We pray this in your Son's wonderful and holy name this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Well, thank you so much for coming. Kathy and I and Leah and our kids wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. You are dismissed.